And away we go. It's a Getaway Friday. Friday, February the 27th, 2026. 2:27:26, 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Pastor Spot here on WGH Talk Radio, hosted by my friend, Pastor Steve Whitaker. What a pleasure it is to bring him in by phone this week. Pastor Whitaker, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, Scott. I was running short on time. I thought we better go this way.
That works for me. What's new in your life?
Let's see what's new in my life. I don't know. Everybody's probably been talking about the speech the other night.
Longest State of the Union, 1 hour and 47 minutes. It was an interest. I watched. Did you watch the thing? I watched the whole thing.
Well, something I kind of like to talk about, and that is decorum. And I'm not just talking about that speech. I want to talk about just general respect for one another, whether it's in school or at home or at work or in our churches. And kind of have this discussion about, wow, have we really slipped in how we talk to people? And I know that, you know, we talk about our president. He's guilty as anyone of opening his mouth in an improper way. And I was talking to a lady yesterday, and very kind lady, Elder DeVader lady. And I asked her if she had watched it. And she goes, oh, no. She goes, I just can't do Donald Trump. He is just so foul. And I stopped and I thought about that, and I thought, yeah, I think the difference we see, what I've seen a lot lately on both sides of the coin, but, you know, the other night I saw a lot of foul. I saw something very foul on a button of a person that should be in a respectful situation. I saw a lady jumping up and down and screaming and calling the president a liar. Now, I'm not saying that they're any worse than some of what others have done, but I find it interesting how the media seems to plaster everything that he does, and of course our phones and iPhones, everyone's on all day, but that seems to get a pass. Then I'll move on from that, and I'll talk about how, even in the church, we've lost that. There's people that, will be honest with you, one of my pet peeves, if any of you know me, is the F-bomb. Can't stand it. Don't. I think it's about as gutter as you talk. And if that's something that comes out of your mouth all the time, you need a lesson in what's proper and what isn't. But anyway, that's just me. And I think it's a lot of other people, too. But it amazes me, in being a pastor, people will just throw that out in front of me like I should just take it, and not caring whether it's offensive or not. And I don't really use that, and that's not political by any means. And, you know, then I look at the way kids talk to teachers in school, and teachers are supposed to just take that today, because I didn't know this until last year, that you're not even allowed to yell at a student anymore. I was talking to a substitute, and he told me, I think this might be my last day. I said, why, what's going on? He goes, I'd had it today, and I yelled at a student, and we're not allowed to do that. And I thought, oh, for crying out loud. We can't yell at students, okay? We can't stand up and do the right thing. But for some odd reason, we are supposed to think that it's okay for people to be completely crude when it comes to their side of things, but you go the other way, and we're supposed to walk a thin line. Especially if I'm a Christian, I'm under a microscope all the time. And, okay, so if I'm going to be under that microscope, how about you respect me? Sure.
And
what I believe. And I think that we've fallen apart, and I'm going to kick back and cross my legs and let you talk, Scott.
Well, it's very interesting because I agree with you on language 100%. I do not understand why profanity has become such a go-to. Now, I don't know anybody who's perfect who hasn't slipped a word here or there, but it is so easy for people to go to profanity now, and I think it really has hurt people's vocabulary, because a lot of those adjectives, which are very profane, can be used in several different ways. And I don't like it just because I think, well, you know, it seems like the lazy thing to do, to just use that as a go-to.
Yeah, but it's even a go-to. My dad has had a go-to that he always used. It was an old saying, and I don't know where it came from. It was, Jesus whiz.
Yeah.
He'd say that. Now, that really didn't offend anyone, and no one even knew what it meant. But it was just something he went to. And we can do that. I mean, there are a lot of things to go to. Another one I hear a lot lately is, oh, you're Jewish.
Oh.
And I wonder about these things. And, you know, the thing is, Scott, that it's gotten to the point that I think that schools need to start stepping in. I won't say what school I was at, but I was at a school last year at a game, and there was a coach that was every other word out of his mouth. And I, you know, the word that is my pet peeve. And the worst part was he had the cheerleaders were cheerleading, the fence was very close to the cheerleaders, I'll put it that way. And they're hearing every word of this coming out of this coach's mouth. And I'm thinking, you know, if I was a parent and my daughter was out there, I guess I live in an older day, I would be having a conversation with that coach and probably with his boss.
Well, I think you're right. And I think, you know, I'm not sure when that happened, but it's in recent times. I would say it's in the last 20 to 25 years that's become acceptable. Now, it's very interesting because recently, Monday, I was at a city council meeting. And before the meeting started, I was having a conversation with one of the city council people, and they were talking about how last week, the week before, they had dressed down and worn a hat to the city council meeting, and that people kind of jumped on them because they were a city council person, they were up in front of everybody, and yet they were not dressed for the occasion. And this has come up recently that people are wearing shorts, council people, so on and so forth. And he was very aware of it. He was very aware, and he went and dressed up this past week because he thought this was a position where you should dress and act in a specific way. And you know, you don't hear that language up there on city council. And I think there probably are many city council people who use the colorful language when they're not up there, but they don't use it when they're up there. So they certainly know how to control it.
Yeah, the other night, and I'm not making this comment because she was a Democrat. I'm just making it in general. You know, when you sit in that congressional seating and you're wearing a button that says F ICE on it, I think that's scraping the bottom of the barrel for someone in your position. Do you realize that you're representing your constituents? Now, I would hope that a large majority of her constituents, I would hope, are offended by that word.
It cheapens
the person. It makes everything cheaper. It just does. And I don't, you know, at some point, I wish that somebody would get the ball rolling to start talking about, you know, decency. You know, if I've got a guy wanting to date my daughter and he shows up and I hear him using that language, he's not going out with my daughter. You know, I just label him a dirtball. I don't like this, but that's pretty the truth. You know, I label, well, this is a guy that, you know, obviously isn't good enough for my daughter because he can't even control his mouth around her. And maybe she's just as bad, right? I don't know, but But don't you think at some point, you know, we have all these little movements going on. How about decency for America?
Well, yeah, there is no. Well, I don't even know. Yeah, you're right. There is no filter, but I don't even know. You know, all things are learned behaviors. Now, a lot of these behaviors, people probably do pick them up from their friends. But, you know, when your parents speak like that, I know so many kids who, you know, you hear them talk like that, and then you think, gosh, why is it their friends? And then you meet their parents, and you realize very quickly why they talk like that.
I say shame on the parents. Right.
Well, yeah, because it's a trickle-down thing. I mean, I don't know how you can live in a house where somebody's using that word, every other word, and not pick it up at some point.
Oh, I agree. And it just becomes, it's always been taboo unless you were sitting in a bar back in the day. I mean, that was language that people used sitting in a bar when they were half drunk. But, I just don't understand. Don't you think we, and I know you do, don't you think we'd be in a lot better shape as people if we just tried to respect other people a little more?
Well, yeah, and I think that's the ultimate problem. You know, I do not understand why everything is so out to get somebody. If you don't feel like I feel, I've got to dislike you. Well, that's the most insane thing you could do, because most people, nobody is a 100% copy of somebody else. Nobody agrees on everything, but now we want to focus in on what we disagree on instead of what we agree on. And that's a big problem.
Yeah, it is. You know, as a pastor, if I had a hard time with everybody that didn't think like me, I'd be in real trouble. Not that my thinking's always right, but I meet such a wide variety of people. And so, excuse me, in so many places in their life and in different backgrounds and situations, I have to be somewhat of a chameleon, if you know what I mean.
Well, you know,
we don't have too many chameleons today.
Well, I have an interesting story this week. It kind of ties into the State of the Union and decorum, and which is what we're talking about. You know, this past week, the State of the Union was on Tuesday, and I had been we've been trying to have all the candidates on who are going to be involved in primaries this coming May, which is on Cinco de Mayo for people who plan to go out and vote. There aren't a whole lot of Democratic primaries in the state, but there are a lot of Republican primaries right now. There's one for governor, there's one for treasurer, there's one for the 86th district, there's one for county commissioner here in Marion. All Republican primaries. So I've been trying to book people in the Republican treasurer's race because there is a primary there. And one of the candidates is a guy named Jay Edwards. And he's a big supporter of Donald Trump. He's been endorsed by J.D. Vance. He's been endorsed by Bernie Moreno. So I've been talking about having him on, and he told me, he said, hey, I'm actually going to the State of the Union on Tuesday night because Bernie Moreno has invited me to be his guest. And I said, hey, would you want to come on Wednesday morning? Will you be back and tell us what it was like to be at the State of the Union? And then we'll talk a little bit about your campaign. And he said, great, that sounds great. He said, I get off the plane at 9 o'clock. I'll come on at 9:15 from the airport. We can talk about the State of the Union. And we can talk about my campaign for treasurer. I said, great. So he comes on live Wednesday morning. It was a 45-minute interview. He gave us a lot of little insights into the room that we would not have known. Interview was over, and a matter of fact, he said, great interview, enjoy it, great, perfect, fine. So we were done, and then I heard back from somebody later in the day that people, honestly, I don't know who they were because nobody used a name, but basically the theory was that people were attacking. I don't know if they were attacking him or if they were attacking me. I'm not really sure because we didn't have that in-depth of conversation. But it was basically, he should not have been on my show because he was a Republican. And they just kind of, the person who was telling me this said, "This is ridiculous. I thought your interview was fine. I want publicity, and I don't understand this."
Well, it's because everybody thinks you're a staunch Democrat.
Well, apparently.
And most of your audience are Democrats, and that's how they're going to feel. I know how you feel. We've had this conversation. But what I'm saying is that, you know, most of your guests that are regulars on your show, most of them, and that associate around you are Democrats. And so people automatically assume that. You know, it's great that every now and then this comes up, because that actually gives you a chance to qualify the truth. You understand what I mean?
Right. Well, the interesting thing to me about it was, in the last year, but I can tell you in the last 2 weeks, we've had Vivek Ramaswamy on, we've had Casey Putch on, we've had Keith Faber, who's running for Attorney General. He's the current Secretary of State here in Ohio, all Republicans, and nobody cared about them being on, but they did care that this guy was on. Now,
because he was actually at the State of the Union.
Now, there you go.
And right, it was something that they could jump on, so to speak. But I'll tell you, Scott, you know, the thing is, you know, you're going to have to defend that all the time. Just as you know, when I say something from the pulpit that may, you know, sometimes I say something that may sound that I'm going down a different road than people want me to, and I usually hear about that. It gives me a chance to qualify it. So in your case, it gives you a chance to, as you do on here, say that, no, this is, you know, I am, you know, you're there to interview people and to talk to people and hopefully do it from a Walter Cronkite point of view, if you know what I mean.
Right.
And I think that you do a good job of that. But however, most of your guests are overwhelmingly I know that this week you did this, but in general, over a 12-month period, most of your guests lean pretty good to the left.
Well, and I think that's what's interesting about this is when I try to balance it and get somebody on who is a staunch Trump supporter, who is endorsed by the vice president, brought to the State of the Union by Bernie Moreno, they try to say, you should not be on that show. Even after they heard the interview where he got a completely fair shake. So if you're trying to block those people from being on, how can you criticize me for not having them on if you're trying to work?
Well, I guess. But here's the thing. You know, it's just like we have a gang mentality, okay? Everybody, you know, like you said, either you agree with me or you're out. And nothing was more clear than the other night. And actually, a dear friend of ours, Frank, was pointing this out to me, that the other night during the speech, when, you know, it's not so any secret, and I'm not, that, you know, the Democrats didn't stand a whole lot. We know that. But the point is that Frank was making was how sad it was to him that you would have men and women that would clap, but they do it down between their legs, you know, where it wasn't a real clap. You know what I mean? And the reason they do that is because they'd look around first and see who nobody else is clapping, so they'd sit there and essentially clap in silence. Now, if you're running for office and you're running for a representative, whatever you're doing, and would you ever run on a political statement or one of your campaign statements is, hey, I want everyone to know I'll never stand up for myself and for your beliefs completely. I'll always be a mouthpiece for the party that I'm in, and I'll never be willing to have the guts to stand up. Now, if they ran that way, nobody'd vote for them. And they run for them because they do want an independent thinker that their district completely. But when you sit there and you obviously support what's being said or done, and you got to hide your clap so your colleagues don't see it, I don't want somebody like that representing me. I don't know about you, Scott, but I kind of like a wildcat.
Yeah, well, and that's it. I don't understand exactly what it is that people... Why can't people believe what they want to believe? I know I might disagree with what you're doing or believing, but, you know, believe it. If you believe it, believe it. That's fine.
Yeah, I think that, you there? Scott?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I believe that a lot of it is that, and we do need to be that way. However, I know that there's issues that affect us nationwide, and I know there's issues that some people, you know, believe that we're never part of what we intended in this country, and they, you know, the whole part of the process we have is to have open debate and then vote on things and decide on things. And go ahead, hang on just a second. Go ahead, Frank.
I took debating in high school.
Yeah. Yeah, can you hear Frank?
Yep.
Hi, Scott.
Hey.
I took debating in high school, and there were certain decor that you took while you were debating. And, Scott, have you ever noticed, or Steve, being asked a question and absolutely know that that's a bait question? They're baiting you.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
And... There's no ability anymore, it seems, to have a polite, sometimes heated, but not argumentative discussion with another person. I've noticed it. I don't like being baited. They don't want to
into an argument.
In an argument.
So they bait you a direction to get away from the argument.
Well, they bait you for the argument. And they don't care what your answer would be. They just want to argue.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of that that goes on.
Yeah.
But I think that sometimes people will try to send it down another trail.
Well,
like,
sure,
for instance, Scott, bring up somebody's indiscretions when they're trying to talk about a tax levy. You know what I mean? Or something of that nature. Yeah, you see a lot of that. But that's always happened a little bit in open debate. But debating is something where you listen to a person's opinion and you take that or what they have to say, and then you have a minute and you can counter that with what you say. But everybody walks away okay. Right?
Right, right. And that's the way it should be. I mean, again, personal attacks are what is really becoming... You know, when people look at a city and people look at the makeup of that city, which are the people, it's the population, and all they see are people fighting all the time and calling each other names, you know, that is not a good look. That is not a good thing. I have never thought in my life that attacking somebody else personally was a good way to put myself over. And some people believe that.
It's not. And people don't realize that, Scott.
I know they don't. And that's the problem. I don't know why, if you think you are better than I am at what I do, just do it better than I do it. And then you'll be fine. Why is it all personal? Why do you go to the personal attack? What does that have to do with the job that somebody's doing?
Scott, I think it's done by example, and the example that we have of that is exactly what we've been seeing, whether it's in our, and we see it on TV, we see it on the news, we see it on, you know, anything around us. I mean, it's just so common. How popular has the, you want to go into a part of our culture that is home a lot and watches TV a lot. And they're watching during the day. What are they seeing? Judge Judy, Joe Brown, maybe Maury Povich or any of those kind of people. What's going on those shows? Stupid arguments. Stupid arguments and lack of respect for other people. And you see that over and over and over all the time. It's around them. It's just, you know, the interesting thing, Scott, is they say that when I grew up as a young person, that we were so crude and backwards and no one had any rights. I look at today, I think it's a bunch of hogwash because we had respect for people back then. You could have open debate. Women, we didn't have the domestic violence back then that we do today. We didn't have kids shooting each other. I mean, we've got to get back to a place where we have some respect for other people and start thinking about how special life is for everyone.
Well, that's true, and you know, if you do accidentally offend somebody, if something you say is offensive, one thing we don't do very well is work it out. We a lot of times you don't realize you have offended somebody. That does happen on the rare occasion, but they don't tell you that. They don't say that. They don't come and say, "Listen, what you said, I really didn't like." And then you can say, "Well, this is why I said it." You might not apologize for it, but at least you can say, "I'm sorry that you took it that way, and I'm sorry that offended you. That was not the implication. That was not the intention." And hopefully, we can go down the road and just understand that we agree or disagree on this issue. I don't know why people just want to harbor things. You know, okay, you offended me. I know you didn't realize you did, but you did. And now I'm going to harbor that till the day we die. I don't understand that.
Yeah, I know. And some people, you'll never change their opinions. You know, I know one particular man. You can give him the facts and the interviews and everything that's ever happened with the Jim Jordan case when it came to the doctor at OSU, and they'll still swear he was front and center. And I mean, for crying out loud, you know, the guy's a young assistant coach. The coaching staff is so huge at OSU, and why? And of course, the only reason that his name keeps coming up because he's in politics. And if he were someone that went on to Iowa or some other school and kept coaching and faded into the, you know, he wouldn't even be at the front and center. But this one particular person that I know, no matter how many times this guy talks, he still thinks he's the lowest scum of the earth. Now, what's really crazy about that is a person that I know isn't exactly the most morally upstanding person either. But we seem to find, I find it interesting that I just don't think, you know, most people have any room to talk when it comes to this decency issue until we get a hold of it, Scott. I mean, I'm even talking about people in the church.
Well, that's true, and I'm not really sure how this gets worked out, but I do think at some point it will have to be worked out, because if people are always angry with each other, society's not going to go along very well. Somebody said it years ago, and I think it was a religious leader, but they said, you know, the only way that we're going to survive is to survive together. And the more that people are apart because of disagreements or arguments or whatever it is, that's going to be a problem.
Well, let's go back to a basic common denominator in all this, okay? Okay, first of all, if I'm going to respect Scott Spears, I have to respect him as a person. If I'm going to respect his opinion, I first have to be able to know this is someone that's worthy of a respectable opinion, so to speak. And the problem that we have with the common denominator, I'll go back to this again, is profanity and lack of respect in our speech. Because here's the thing. I've never heard you use profanity or have lack of respect. Matter of fact, if you were really foul-mouthed, you and I probably wouldn't have talked for a long time. But my point is this, that when you've got people around you and when you respect somebody, you have a little bit of a guard up as to making sure that you're not offending. You listen a little better because you want to have respect and listen to what that person says. But when your answer to everything in the world is F this and F that and GD this and GD that, you've opened the door for that lack of respect to come in. And when you are on guard, and when you try to do what's right, and you say, well, you know, and really need to watch my language. When you try to do what's right and say, you know, I really need to treat people a little better than I do. Suddenly people start listening to each other a little more and treating each other better. But we're never going to do it if we don't stop cleaning up this natural potty mouth we have that takes everybody down to a very low common denominator that opens the door for all this stuff, in my opinion. You know, the other night, and I will do it any time. I don't care whose party they're in. But when that badge showed up that said what it did on it, they should have been escorted out of the chambers or at least told they had to remove that. Now, I did notice that later in the broadcast, when they would put the camera on her, they would fuzzy out the word. But should they have to do that? I mean, shouldn't that be the responsibility of the person? And, you know, we've got to start doing stuff like that. But we have a generation of people that say, oh, what's the big deal? We need to teach them once again what the big deal is. It's called common respect and what's right and what isn't. And it's so important. You know, you and I don't have to agree on everything, and I'm sure we don't. But you've never shown me anything but respect. I've never shown you anything but respect. So why is that so hard?
Well, and you know, I think if you look at anything over time, what happened was, I think there was a decay in culture. You know, it wasn't that people got less educated. It wasn't that people are less smart. There was a decay in culture, and the things that we like to watch became more violent and more... Well, you mentioned some of the shows there. I mean, you know, Who's Your Daddy for an hour? But people watch it 5 days a week, every 52 weeks a year. You know, court shows where people stand up and argue all the time. You know, these shows always had some place in society, but they certainly were not the most watched thing, and they weren't on constant. Yeah, they weren't constant. But it all became that, and people watched.
I agree, and I think that, like the soap operas, I think the soap operas contributed to the free love movement, because they were so sexual, whereas these other shows are contributing to the low-class movement.
Well, it's shocking to me that you could not, if you would have, I mean, it's not even the ancient future, past. If you would have went to the 1980s, early 1980s, if you would have put some of the shows that survived in the 90s and 2000s on then, they would not have, because they would not have had an audience. People tried, but they just couldn't find an audience. But for some reason, there was a decay in culture that in the 90s and the 2000s, that it was okay, that those shows were what people wanted to watch. And look, the other day, you know, somebody showed me the slap fighting show, where people just slap each other until somebody falls down. Now, what in the world is the appeal in that, where they're drawing crowds to pay? People are paying to watch this, and they've got a referee in there, and it's lighting, and it's cameras, and they can sell pay-per-views to watch two people slap each other?
I'm with you. Frank just showed me something. Married with Children was one of the longest-running American sitcoms from 87 to 1997. It says, centered on a dysfunctional working-class Bundy family in the Chicago South. And, you know, I think you remember that show. You talking about disrespectful. And, you know, we're going back, 40 years now?
Yeah. Yeah.
40 years. This has been going on for a long time, and it has become natural. But I say, you know, Scott, we can talk about what's wrong with this stuff all day long. So do you have any ideas where do we start with the decency?
Well, I think what eventually has to happen is people have to lead by example, and it, sometimes being decent is not the easy thing to do for these people, but it's the right thing to do. And I think people have to stop doing the easy thing and maybe doing the right thing more often. And if
okay.
if that happened, I think that would help. But I also think at some point we've got to stop being so judgmental of, you know, somebody said the other day, it was kind of interesting. They said this country right now needs some joy, you know, and this person liked musical theater. And they said, wouldn't it be great if you just had a musical on television or on the internet, wherever people could get it for free, that you could watch happy music, good story, happy ending. You know, that's how most musicals and television and plays used to
they
be written.
Watch it.
Yeah, but people don't, I don't even think there's that option anymore most of the time.
No, you know, gone are the days when, you know, we used to watch some fun, the Carol Burnett Show. How fun was that?
Yeah.
And, you know, Lawrence Welk was a staple back in the 60s, but he even made me go to sleep.
Yeah, that's right. But people loved
you know,
him.
The thing is, here's the thing, Scott. I think that, okay, it's got to start at the top. And what I mean by the top is this. It has to start, for instance, Congress. They have to decide between a bipartisan thing that we are not going to tolerate indecent language and indecent behavior on the floor anymore, and especially when we are in the public eye, okay? That they could do that without hurting a soul. Okay, then we go to the schools. The schools need to say, you know what? We're going to teach what's proper and way to treat people and how to act and what's decent and what's expected of you as a citizen in your behavior, and we're not going to tolerate this other stuff. It will be punished. Those are two just big main things right there. The next thing that I think we can do is make it clear to our politicians. If you're going to talk foul, I don't know what the consequences have to be, but there has to be something, whether they are, you know, there was a time, if you went back in the 60s and prior or in the 70s, if someone really used something offensive in their language, it would be taken off air immediately. And what if we told our news media and our talk shows, you know, the minute this language is used, you're going black.
Yeah.
You're going black. Boy, that would change their minds, wouldn't it, a little bit?
Well, and I think that's what, at some point, we became more focused on opinion than content. And, you know, the content is the language, it's the storyline, it's the nudity, that's content. But now, it seems like people are more focused on what people's opinions are. If somebody gives an opinion that has no profanity, that there's no nudity, that they are giving an opinion or teaching a subject or whatever they're doing, now we're more concerned about that than nudity, profanity, the content. It's very strange. I don't know when opinion became more important than content.
Yeah, that is well, because opinion feeds emotions, okay? And when you can be pulled into something emotionally, it really limits the amount of opinions that can even be available and out there. One's got to fire it up and one's got to calm it down. So sometimes you don't even get really to the true source and what needs to be said. And it becomes this battle in the news media, especially, to make sure that everyone's opinion and everyone's anger is focused in the right direction.
Well, that's true. But, you know, have you ever watched something like the BBC? If you watch the BBC, it's very interesting because most people would not sit and watch it because they would say it's too bland because there are no adjectives when they're describing... It's news. They're not describing... there are no adjectives. There's no opinion. You can tell that the anchors are not trying to be personalities because they're not screaming. They're not yelling. They're not, you know, doing what we see a lot in American news. I don't think that would work here because people would say it's boring. They don't want to watch it. But they're just giving you the facts. And that's it. Here, we question facts now. And but we do it with personality. And we do it with opinion. And we do it with editorializing. You know, I don't know. It's an interesting place to live. You know, at some point, I think we ended up with too many options. You know, people always thought more options, the better. Well,
we had a lot, didn't we?
I think we got too much. Too much because now... you can find any opinion you want. You can find if you want to back up whatever you believe, you can find somebody to back it up. It's not hard. You can do it. I think that's why conspiracy theories got on the rise.
Well, like I know a guy that's a flat earther, and he's found plenty of people to agree with him. To me, that's one of the ultimate crazies. But I guess they find a reason to believe what they do.
Well, I mean, look at all the conspiracy theories. I mean, everything's a conspiracy theory. I mean, from people walking on the moon to 9/11 to JFK to any assassination of any well-known person. You know, there's always more involved than...
Well, Kirk's thing is becoming a fiasco with some of these people.
Yeah, and I don't understand why... did everything happen the way we were told? Probably not. But does everything have to be a conspiracy? No. And I don't know why it is.
Why not? Why couldn't it have happened the way we were told?
You know, and that's a good question. And you know what? It is a conspiracy theory because there are no facts that prove it. And so if you could prove these conspiracy theories, they wouldn't be conspiracy theories. They'd be the truth.
Well, if we're living in such a skeptical society and no one trusts government, you know, when just like when people tried to shoot the president, a lot of people immediately said, what group got him to do it? Well, how do you know there's any group that got him to do it? You know, maybe these are some deranged person that wants to go shoot someone that they don't agree with to be popular.
Well, that's it. There's always something. You can almost bet any time something tragic happens or something out of the ordinary happens, there's got to be more to it than they're telling us. That's how people think. There's got to be more to it than they're telling us. Well, sometimes I don't think there is. I think there may be less to it.
Well... And we see that over and over again with everything that seems to go on. Unfortunately, there's so many things, conspiracies that probably are true that even feeds it more.
Right. And there are, there absolutely are conspiracy theories. There's no doubt in my mind. But I think when you label everything a conspiracy theory, then it's kind of hard to actually concentrate on things that might have been a little strange because we've got to investigate everything.
How many years ago was 1983?
1980, about 40 now. Well, over 40.
Yeah. It'd be 43, right?
43 years ago.
Well, after the speech the other night, and after everything was said and done, the next day, the only counter anybody could come up with was take focus off the thing, was that Trump had an affair with a 14-year-old at Epstein Island in 1983. Now you're going back to 1983, 43 years, and where's that information? Is it even out there? Is it even true? You know, is it something that some, you know, here we go, all this stuff. can we have our focus and move forward a little bit?
Well, that's the problem. I mean, you know, Bill. Did we lose the pastor?
Sounds like it.
Uh-oh. I think we lost him. Well, anyway, we are at the end of the program today. I don't know what happened if the pastor got outside the listening area there. We'll see if he calls back in here before the program wraps up. But that was Pastor Steve Whitaker here on the Pastor Spot on WGH Talk Radio. But it all is, it's very interesting as time goes along. What does all this stuff mean? Well, Pastor Whitaker will be back next week with another program, and we've still got another hour to go here, so stay tuned on WGH Talk Radio.
You know, the funny thing is, and as I mentioned before,